We are reading this morning from the 6th canto, chapter 16, text number 41. Sorry, 51. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Aham Vai Sarva Bhutani. Aham Vai Sarva Bhutani. Bhutatma Bhuta Bhavana. Bhutatma Bhuta Bhavana. Shapta Brahma Parang Brahma. Shapta Brahma Parang
Brahma.
Manobhe Shashvati Tanu. Mamobhe Shashvati Tanu. Aham Vai Sarva Bhutani. Bhutatma Bhuta Bhavana. Shapta Brahma Parang
Brahma.
Manobe Shashvati Tanu. Aham Vai Sarva Bhutani. Bhutatma Bhuta Bhavana. Shapta Brahma Parang
Brahma.
Mamo Veshashvati Tanu. We make it a little shorter since we have little time left. I. Vai. Indeed. Sarvabhutani.
Expanded in different forms of living entities.
Bhutatma.
The supersoul of all living entities.
The supreme director and enjoyer of them.
Bhuta Bhavanaha.
The cause for the manifestation of all living entities.
Shapta Brahma.
The transcendental sound vibration.
The Hare Krishna mantra.
Parang Brahma.
The supreme absolute truth.
Mama.
My.
Ubhe.
Both.
Namely the form of sound.
In the form of spiritual identity.
Shashvati.
Eternal.
Tanu.
Two bodies.
Translation. All living entities moving and all living entities moving and non-moving are my expansions and are separate from me. I am the supersoul of all living beings who exist because I manifest them. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkara and Hare Krishna Hare Rama, and I am the supreme absolute truth. These two forms of mine, namely the transcendental sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material.
Purport.
The science of devotional service has been instructed by Narada and Angira to Chitraketu. Now because of Chitraketu's devotional service, he has seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By performing devotional service, one advances step by step. And when one is on the platform of love of Godhead, Prema Bhumartu Mahan, he sees the Supreme Lord at every moment. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, When one engages in devotional service 24 hours a day, Desham Satata Yukta Anam Bhajatam Pritipurvakam, in accordance with the instructions of the spiritual master, his devotional service becomes more and more pleasing. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is within the core of everyone's heart, speaks to the devotee, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamang Upayantite. Chitraketu Maharaj was first instructed by his gurus, Angira and Narada, and now, having followed their instructions, he has come to the stage of seeing the Supreme Lord face to face. Therefore, the Lord is now instructing him in the essence of knowledge. The essence of knowledge, this is a very interesting definition. What follows? The essence of knowledge is that there are two kinds of vastu, or substances. One is real, and the other, being illusory or temporary, is sometimes called non-factual. One must consider these two kinds of existence. The real tattva, or truth, consists of Brahma, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yat jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti Bhagavan iti shaptyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. The absolute truth exists eternally in three features. Therefore, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan combined are the substance. The categories of emanations from the non-substance are two: activities and forbidden activities. Again, since this is a very systematic presentation, there are two substances, the real and the unreal, or the permanent and the impermanent, and from this unreal, there are two categories emanating. One are activities which are allowed, and the other activities which are forbidden. Karma refers to the pious life or material activities performed during the day and the mental activities of dreams at night. These are more or less desired activities. Vikama, however, refers to illusory activities, which are something like the will-o'-the-wisp. These are activities that have no meaning. For example, modern scientists imagine that life can be produced from chemical combinations, and they are very busy trying to prove this in laboratories throughout the world, although no one in history has been able to produce the substance of life from material combinations. Such activities are called vikama. All material activities are actually illusory, and progress in illusion is simply the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Karmano yapi bodhavyam bodhavyam chavi karmana akarmanas cha bodhavyam gahana karmano gati. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. One must learn of these directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, as Anantadev, is instructing King Chitraketu because of the advanced stage of devotional service he achieved by following the instructions of Narada and Angida. So this was the slow part of the reading, but we have to accelerate a little, so now you have to put your turbo of attention going, so everything will catch your awareness. Herein it is said, Aham Vai Sarva Bhutani, the Lord is everything, including the living entities and the material or physical elements. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhumya Apo Nalo Vayu and Aparyam Itas Tvanyam, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. All together these eight comprise my separated material energies. Besides this inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjun, there is a superior energy of mine which consists of the living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. The living entity tries to lord it over the material or physical elements, but both the physical elements and the spiritual spark are energies emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore the Lord says, Aham Vai Sarva Bhutani, I am everything. Just as heat and light emanate from fire, these two energies, the physical elements and the living entities, emanate from the Supreme Lord. Therefore the Lord says, Aham Vai Sarva Bhutani, I expand the physical and spiritual categories. Again, the Lord as a super soul guides the living entities who are conditioned by the physical atmosphere. Therefore he is called Bhutatma Bhuta Bhavana. So everything expands from the Lord, both the inferior and the superior energy. And then the Lord is again present in the inferior energy as a super soul. He gives the living entity the intelligence with which to improve his position so that he may return home, back to Godhead. Or if he does not want to go back to Godhead, the Lord gives him the intelligence with which to improve his material position. And this is confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matasmitya jnanam apoharam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. From within, the Lord gives the living being the intelligence with which to work. Therefore, the previous verse said that after the Supreme Personality of Godhead endeavors, our endeavors begin. Therefore, let us hear this again. Therefore, the previous verse said that after the Supreme Personality of Godhead endeavors, our endeavors begin. We cannot independently endeavor or act upon anything. Therefore the Lord is Bhuta Bhavana. Another specific feature of the knowledge given in this verse is that Shabda Brahma is also a form of the Supreme Lord. In his eternal blissful form, Lord Krishna is accepted by Arjuna as Param Brahma. A living entity in the conditioned stage accepts something illusory as substantial. This is called Maya or Avidya, ignorance. Therefore, according to the Vedic knowledge, one must become a devotee, and one must then distinguish between avidya and vidya, which are elaborately explained in the Ishopanishad. When one is actually on the platform of vidya, he can personally understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his forms like those of Lord Rama, Lord Krishna, and Shankarshan. The Vedic knowledge is described as the breathing of the Supreme Lord, and activities begin on the basis of Vedic knowledge. Therefore the Lord says that when he endeavors or breathes, the material universes come into existence and various activities gradually develop. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Pranava Sarva Vedishu, I am the syllable Om in all the Vedic mantras. Vedic knowledge begins with the vibration of the transcendental sound Pranava Omkara. The same transcendental sound is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Abhinat Van Nama Namino. There is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani pracharine nivashesha shunyavari vaskatyari satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in the Vishnu Purana, there's an important verse explaining the particular tattva which is explained here in the first part of the verse. Ekadesha stitasya gyar yojna vistarini yata parasya brahmano shaktis tatedang akilang jagat. Just as the illumination of a fire which is situated in one place is spread all over, the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman, are spread all over this universe. In the context of this verse, it means both the material energy and the living entity are the Lord. At the same time, however, they are not the Lord. To give an example, when you receive the sun in your room early in the morning, it can be said that the sun is in your room. At the same time, however, the sun is not in the room, because where it would it be in the room? First of all, it wouldn't fit, but then your room wouldn't be there. So in the same way, Krishna is everything, in the sense that, let us be consistent. The sun is in your room by its energy, the sunshine. And the sun is not in your room because it is at the same time different from its energy, the sunshine. It's one, therefore it's in the room. It's different, therefore your room doesn't burn up. In the same way, Krishna is one with the material energy and one with the living entities. At the same time, though he in his transcendental rupa is different. This is the Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva philosophy. In Padma Purana, there is a prophecy told that in the age of Kali, all the four Vaishnava Sampradayas will merge in one and will be spread from Purukshottam Kshetra, this Jagannath Puri. This prophecy is a glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who resided at Nilachal in Jagannath in Purushottam Dham, and conducted his missionary activities from there by sending his devotees all over preaching Krishna consciousness. All the Siddhantas of the other four Sampradayas are included in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glorious Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva philosophy. Both the dualism of Madhvacharya as the qualified dualism of Ramanujacharya, all these philosophies are there and are spread from there. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the great reviver of Mahaprabhu's missions in the 18th century, resided in Purushottam Kshetra. His son Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took his divine appearance there and instructed our own Srila Prabhupada to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. So this is how you, yet another passage in the scripture explaining how the Achintya Abheda Veda Tattva philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the sum and substance, and this movement, the Hare Krishna movement, is actually the one who fulfills this prophecy. So there is a second part of the shloka. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkara and Hare Krishna Hare Rama, and I am the Supreme Absolute Truth. These two forms of mine, namely the transcendental sound and the eternal blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. So Prabhupada in his purpose quotes the verse Binadvang Namanamino, that the name of the Lord is not different from the Lord, but at the same time it's different. We are discussing Achintya Veda Abheda Tattva, so we will also apply this philosophy on the holy name. With your permission, I know that the ears of my god brothers are all alert now. What will he say now? It is like this. There is no qualitative difference, no quantitative difference, but there is a difference in quality. The name of the Lord is more merciful than the Lord. This has been explained in Srila Rupa Goswami's glorification of his holy name, of the holy name, where he says that the vachya, that is the transcendental form, is not different from the vachaka, that means the name. At the same time, though, the name appears whenever appears out of the mercy, causeless mercy, whenever a devotee calls upon him. Whereas the divine form of the Lord has a scheduled appearance. Once in a day of Brahma, he appears. So, the transcendental holy name is so merciful, and that by this quality of kripa, he is different from the form of the Lord. When a living entity begins to chant the holy name, even in namabhas, the entanglement in material activities are stopping. And at that time, when he is no longer entangled in material activities, at that time the living entity can feel the attraction of the in his heart going from the material, from the unreal, from the asat to the sat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is really what is in between. Or this is really what it's all about. Now, there's a wall in between one's attraction going from the asat to the sat. And this wall is a very subtle wall. It's a very strong wall. It's a wall which every one of us will have to climb in order to experience a genuine shift of attraction, or let us be communicationists, a paradigm. What is it? Paradigm shift. Paradigm? Paradigm. Paradigm shift. Now this is a very, very interesting point in our philosophy, and I want to just focus all of your attention a little bit on this. Yesterday, you might remember when we heard the preachings of Mr. Barker, the barking preaching. It was good what he said, but he was just, materialism dropped off his suit. He was explaining how when our conception is entangled with a certain concept, we won't be able to perceive something else. The classical example of this is Duryodhana. Duryodhana wanted to become the king. And this desire or this concept was barring his conception from the spiritual reality. In the first chapter of the third canto, a very revealing story is told about this. Just before the outbreak of the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna went as a messenger, peace messenger, on behalf of Yudhishthira and Arjuna, to tell the Kurus that they should give the Pandavas the rightful share of a country. Not even the rightful, just something to rule. So when Vidura, it is described, when the Supreme Lord was sitting in the assembly of the Kurus, with Bhishma next to him, he looked like the moon, and different luminaries were around him. He looked extremely beautiful on the night sky. And everyone was taken a breath. So, after he talked, Vidura made a point to Dhritarashtra. He went over to Dhritarashtra and said, "My dear Dhritarashtra, you better give the Pandavas, because Krishna, who maintains the whole universe, who is therefore the strongest of the strong, he's on their side. You better give it." So Duryodhana, when he heard this, exploded with rage. He said, "Well, Vidura, you rascal, you always advise my father to the contrary of our interest. Who?" And so on. He began to insult Vidura. And then he became angry at Krishna. And in his foolishness, he dared to insult Krishna. Now, Krishna, and then he went from the palace and came back with the army. What did he want to do? He wanted to imprison the Lord. Now, this is a political breach of etiquette. You can't do that with a messenger. You have to let him go, whatever he tells. And it's a ontological foolishness. The living entity wants to control the Lord. Not long ago, a devotee met Michael Jackson, a pop singer of considerable fame. He gave him the Bhagavad Gita and a picture of Krishna. Michael Jackson liked it very, very much. He told his bodyguards, "Get me, please, all the books from these wonderful people." That was arranged. And then he felt so attracted by the picture of Krishna in his divine beauty and Radha leaning at his side that he tore a page of the Bhagavad Gita. He doesn't know that one doesn't do this with the holy book. And wrote a message: "Thank you very much for the wonderful picture. Please do me a favor. Repaint this picture. Everything should be the same, but instead of Krishna's head, my head should be there, because it is of considerable ethical value, aesthetic value." So that's a classical ontological problem the conditioned soul has. There was a trick to get you all awake, but the story is true. I just told it because it is a very important point which comes now, and we know that such stories will keep us very attentive. That he did. That is what Duryodhana did. That's what we all did at one stage. Instead of Krishna, we think we are the ones. Duryodhana wanted to attack even the Supreme Personality of God with an army. And even when Krishna showed his universe, it was a partial manifestation of the universal form. It was not the universal form which was shown in on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It was something which everyone could see also. Everyone was aware of that. But Duryodhana, when he saw it, you know what his, paradigm paralysis was? It means that what stopped him, his reaction was, it must be a hallucination. It doesn't exist. It is not possible. That has a reason why he is like this. He is a partial incarnation of Kali, but so this is an interesting thing which is existing in our scriptures. Many examples of this. Now, what is the wall between recognizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our and desiring to serve Him and desiring to serve us? What is separating this? Now, many examples could be said, many answers could be given. Bina Prakriti, it is a separated energy. One could talk of the false ego. Talk of the different functions of Maya and get very technical about it. This morning, we want to bring. Now, what is the wall between recognizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our and desiring to serve Him and desiring to serve us? What is separating this? Now, many examples could be said, many answers could be given. Bina Prakriti, it is a separated energy. One could talk of the false ego. Talk of the different functions of Maya and get very technical about it. This morning, we want to bring your attention to one point. It is pratishta, the desire to become recognized. It's a very deep and very subtle thing. Sanatana Goswami says, even if you have given up your attraction to gold and to beautiful women, even then, which is very difficult to do. So even if you have given up the attraction to the gross, the asat, still your attraction, still the desire for pratishta, the desire for recognition is there. That is even very difficult to give up for transcendentalists. Srila Raghunath Goswami, he compares this desire for recognition, I want to be recognized, with a dog-eating prostitute. One cannot get more graphic. Imagine you go to Brussels and all of a sudden you see a prostitute half-dressed running out of her certain unchaste quarters behind an aristocratic dog which is led around by his master, and she jubilantly jumps on top of the dog, begins to kill it by biting the vein here. I mean, you think this is really not a good person. This is really a diseased thing. So, in the same way, the desire for pratishta has been compared by Raghunath Das Goswami with such a desire. We run after the honor which we want to get by our own activities, like Michael Jackson. In a very extreme form. So we might ask ourselves, because this is really a subject matter which is very, very deep, why is it that this wall Or why is it that this point is so terribly strong? What is the special force behind it? We know that behind the material attractions, there are actually deep, deep causes. For instance, the attraction sexuality there is a cause. We want love. We want love of Krishna, ultimately. And it's just a very perverted expression of that. So what is behind the pratishtha? One is, it is that same attraction. See, the connection is like this. Sexuality is the expression of gross enjoyment. It's the high point of gross enjoyment and recognition. Oh, I'm famous. Oh, they said the right thing. Oh, they even said it was a good lecture. like this. That is, that is the highest attraction of the on the subtle platform. Mao Zedong, widow, said, many people think, I mean, I shouldn't quote her as a Brahman, it's not a proof, but it's something interesting. Many people think that the attraction to sexuality is the highest joy. That's not true. It's the, she was also old when she said it. The highest attraction is the desire for to be recognized as a powerful person and to wield that power. Sometimes materialists have a wakeful moment. So this is a. Actually, they never have it. It's not spiritual knowledge she spoke, but it was some psychology, I guess. So anyway. But, so it's. Please excuse me. It's this, but there is also another explanation. Fame, the desire for fame and recognition is extremely strong. There are mountain climbers in Germany, in Austria they are, who climb mountains without support by just having these pickles, are they called pickles? Picks. And they just hanging on their hands and climbing a mountain which goes like this. I met such a mountain climber. His name was Reinhold Messner. You might have heard about him. Just to become famous, to do the impossible, they are risking their life. There are people who swim over the channel which is separating England and the continental Europe. When how high waves are there, just to become famous. Why is it so that they risk their lives for pratishtha? What is the attraction? What is the psychological workings there? The explanation is fame outlives the temporary material body. Napoleon is known even after his death. Marilyn Monroe is known even though there is only a stool of worms left of her body. Fame is next to eternity for the illusion-conditioned soul. That's why it has such an attraction. The desire to become immortal by one's own glories is a perverted desire to go from the darkness to the light. And it is so cruel. It is so degrading. It is so base that it only is an expansion of the desire for sexuality. This is how Maya always cheats the conditioned soul when it's the attraction of the conditioned soul goes to the asad, the temporary. So in order to give up, to climb over the wall and come to the kingdom of Sat, in order that our attachments and attractions go from the Asat, from the temporary material existence in the form of gross enjoyment and subtle enjoyment by this pratishta, in order to go, for that attraction to go to the other side, something very important must happen in the life of a conditioned soul. He must actually meet a pure devotee of the Lord and begin to serve his interests. By service of a pure devotee, spiritual qualities will be instilled in the heart. And one quality is a Kladini Shakti, the pleasure energy, which gives us a higher taste. Someone who sincerely serves his spiritual master will always say, whatever happens, it's Guru's grace. It is Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Such a person will not be attached to pratishta, his own glories. He will become humble, and he will become attracted to Krishna as a natural gift of that sadhu. So we have to move from the self-centered to the falsely self-centered to the service of the pure devotee and the supreme personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna, we shall end our discussion here. As you know, today is another day of seminars, and we will not also not take any questions, so that everything can go on well. But a concluding remark, everything, even this most difficult climbing over the wall of pratishta, becomes very easy as soon as a devotee considers that he is an eternal soul, that he is not identical with the body. When a devotee sees that pratishta is coming up, polluting his intelligence, separating him from his spiritual master, separating him, keeping him in the world of asat, of temporary emotions and attachments, then he should get very alarmed. See, because pratishta, I'm just starting again all over. Let me say three more sentences to pratishta. Pratishta has a husband. The prostitute has a husband. And if the prostitute is in the heart, she immediately invites him in for an activity which is not fit to be discussed in the Bhagavatam class. It's a, come on, come on, and the husband is Matsarya. Matsarya means enviousness. If a devotee wants to be recognized, he easily becomes envious of other devotees' good achievements in devotional service. And then they have their illicit relationship in the hearts, and two twins, you know, they're very lusty. That means two twins come. That is, asuya means evil will. One wishes bad, actually, for someone. And it can even go up to violence. That's the second twin. So this unholy pratishta gets and invites the husband called enviousness, and the results are ill will and violence towards other, in words, and sometimes even in body. But whenever this happens, the devotee should remember, aham brahmasmi. I'm not this body. I'm not this mind. I'm a tiny, tiny soul, part and parcel of Krishna. Let me engage in Krishna's devotional service. As soon as this concept is there, paradigm shift is that everything becomes very, very easy. To read you how Srila Prabhupada analyzes this. That I can only serve you from memory, this beautiful passage. Actually, pity, where is it? Here. When one comes to understand that he is not his material body but spirit soul, then one comes to the point, why am I working so hard for this body? Immediately so many responsibilities go away. Then you think, why am I envious of this man or that man, this animal or that animal? They are all part and parcel of Krishna. They are all Brahman. In this way you come to the point of equality. This is the beginning of devotional life. It is a beginning. It is not a sentiment. It is a great science to become a devotee, to come to the platform of devotional life. When one comes to that stage of devotional life, then one can understand what is Krishna. So the wall must be climbed over. It's a material concept. So let us finish here. By the chanting of the holy name, everything will be very easy. If we focus our mind on it, chant it without undue attachments to matter, to pratishtha, to gross matter, and in this way give up the tense offense, then we will be very attentive in chanting and we will be gifted with the kripa of the holy name, because the holy name is more merciful than the Lord. It can help us even here. So, Hare Krishna, let us end here. Do you want to make an announcement? The prasadam will be at 9 o'clock, isn't it? Yes. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol.